Good evening, my lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives, a Be Unique production. My creatives tonight are the boys from BioFriendly Corporation. The corporation is known as the world leader in green fuel solutions. They produce Green Plus, a breakthrough technology that is eco-labeled by the United Nations for reducing harmful greenhouse gas emissions. This patented homogeneous catalyst has undergone rigorous certified testing on four continents and has treated over 8 billion gallons of fuel worldwide, reducing millions of CO2 pounds annually. In 2018, BioFriendly launched its award-winning environmental education and entertainment site, BioFriendlyPlanet.com, which serves as a green hub for hundreds of thousands of eco-friendly readers. So grab your cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host pup, and listen to Jacob and Noel tell me all about it. Enjoy, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Doing all right.
But has it already begun? Are we in? Or are we doing just pleasantries up front?
Oh, no. Everything's recorded. Everything.
All right. Great. Right.
This is no formal podcast. This is informal. This is this is your relaxed space where you can talk about whatever you want.
Okay. That's funny. It's a lot like ours, actually.
I was just looking at yours. I've been on your website. So I love, love, love. It's BioFriendly Planet. It's the e-zine, and that's where the podcast is.
Yep, that's right.
And people can get all their wonderful environmental info. And it looks engaging as well, which I love, because sometimes things are so dry. You know, you read like two sentences, and you're like, I can't do this. But it looks like it's very engaging, and it's bright, and it's colorful, and it catches your attention, which is great. So you're welcome. Start me at the beginning. Start me with little Jacob and little Noel. But Jacob, I don't have a Noel. I apologize, but I do have a Jacob. I'm sorry.
We'll get one of our team out to you.
There you go.
We'll send the guy named Noel out your way.
Thank you. He can call me Mom. It's fine.
Yes. So you have a son named Jacob?
I do. And a son named Justin and a son named Brett.
All right. You got three boys in that household.
Boom, boom.
One of them to be a Noel.
It just didn't work out that way. We didn't get to the ends. You know, we stopped at the J's, and I'll get a cat and name it Noel.
I'll take the cat from the shelter, of course.
But take me back to the beginning. It says you guys started BioFriendly in 1999, but I feel like maybe you guys had a heart for the environment before that.
Yeah.
As children, were you out there doing that?
Oh yeah.
Always green.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard not to be. I grew up kind of near, you know, up in near the San Gabriel Mountains here in Pasadena, and there's a lot of nature to enjoy. You know, there's we got tons of mountains, waterfalls and creeks and streams, and just a lot of green. It's hard not to sort of become
one with nature,
passionate for nature when you to spend time with it and be in the middle of it so much. But yeah, the company is actually we came into the business a little bit later. The company was founded in 1999, actually by my father and my older brother, and then my dad's two brothers.
Okay.
We're Aussies. I don't sound very Australian because I grew up here. But the family's Australian. Similar kind of thing. There's just a lot of passion for nature down there. You know, they come from a family of farming, and they love the environment. And actually, the company started to reduce air pollution was the original goal of the business. And so my dad and his brothers who are all very different from me. They're very more mathematically engineering science minded people. Jacob and I, as you'll see as we go on this interview, are much more artsy fartsy.
Yeah, we're a couple of theatrical dudes.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Oh, drama. Wonderful.
Yeah, all the drama.
Exactly. But I wasn't much involved then. That was a bit, you know, but before my
I was gonna say, yeah, you don't look old enough to have been doing this for 22 years or so.
Yes, no.
Well,
no.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
But you know, yeah, they developed a fuel catalyst that reduces air pollution, basically. Okay. So you put it in any internal combustion engine, so a car, a bus, truck, ship, even in power plants, things like that. And it
Holy
reduces
cow.
The amount of CO2 emissions that it
Holy
produces.
Cow.
To be more efficient. Yeah. So they developed that product and started selling that, brought that to market. And that was kind of the core business for a very long time. Jacob and I actually met, we got involved in business together through entertainment. We started a company back in 2011 called Good Cops Entertainment. And we made a ridiculous web series, didn't we?
We sure did. A very ridiculous comedic web series.
Yeah, it's Good Cops is what it was called. So that's okay. Where the entertainment company came from. And it's about three wild, ridiculous police officers who use explosions and faulty logic to solve crimes that nobody cares about, until you realize at the end that the logic was perfectly right. The cops were very good cops, and that the crime was a very important crime. And then you laugh in the process and have a good time. And since then, we did a bunch of other stuff. You can tell about the other stuff.
Yes, it's okay. We did, after Good Cops, we made a Western comedy called Tumbleweed, which was based off of a very popular video game at the time called Red Dead Redemption. So we did that.
Yeah, and then we sold those shows to Warner's digital arm at the time, which was called Machinima, like their video gaming arm that they had. Yep. And then from there, we did some
Machinima.
Machinima. Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like Mashugama.
Yeah.
we did a couple sketch shows for them. We did some commercial work that was outside of there. We did a bunch of, you know, we made another season of Good Cops.
And then we made a feature film. We made a horror, a vampire comedy. It's more comedy than it is horror.
There's a lot of blood, though.
There's a lot of blood, but it's
I must know. Where can I see it?
You can see it really, really easily, especially it's on Amazon Prime. So if you have Prime, you can watch it for free.
If you don't have Prime, go to Tubi.
On Tubi. It's on Vudu. It's on
Roku.
It's on a bunch of different places. But it's a very long title. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you the long title first, and then I'm going to tell you how easily you can find it. The full title of the film is I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker. But all you have to plug into all of these places is the words House Harker, and you got it. It's right there. So
I had a bloody good time at House Harker, of course, referencing Jonathan Harker. Listen.
Most people go right to Van Helsing. They have no idea that Jonathan Harker was actually the
guy who put the stake in Dracula's heart.
And that Mina Harker was kind of the star of the whole thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what? The fact that people think vampires sparkle still.
You need to watch the movie.
You are going to love this movie because we call that out specifically.
I love it already and I haven't seen it.
We had our background in the entertainment world and then that's kind of how we got together. And then
through kind of having good, we had quite a bit of success there. My brother, he was looking to like, how are we going to take BioFriendly kind of into the next, you know, to its next phase? Because obviously fossil fuels aren't, you know, the goal is not just to stop burning them, right? Just to do a lot less of that and to transition to renewable options and then to more electric vehicles and things like that. And being environmentalist, you know, he and everybody here wants to support that. But we got this additive that reduces, you know, fuel emissions, right? So eventually that company would go out of business. So he chatted with me after we'd finished this movie what do you think about coming aboard and kind of running the ship while we transition and coming up with a plan to make it about just the environment in general and other kinds of things. So I agree with that and brought Jacob along to help out and do it. And now we've started the transition. There's a lot of things. We're actually in the future we're going to be more of a generally a green company, supplying other products, not just Green Plus, which is the additive, but you know, other things that help the environment and get those more easily to people, is just sort of expand what we can do for the planet in general. And then of course the one major initiative we started was BioFriendly Planet, which you were talking about earlier. And BioFriendly Planet, the point of that was to try to make being green more fun
and cool.
And inviting.
There's one thing that we really picked up on when Jacob and I were looking at this, is that the green community has been beaten up on for a real long time for being green and for wanting to change things and being hippies and whatever else, and people don't agree with them and that people have a hard time with them. And I think that all those years of being knocked down, it's made them a little bit jaded to the whole concept. And so we just noticed just that it was kind of a mean message, that there wasn't a lot of welcoming. There wasn't a lot of look, you might not be ready for this, but here's something you can try. It's okay if you don't want to do it, you know, to try to make it a little bit easier to sort of embrace, right? Because it was just kind of like an all or nothing.
Yeah, fix the environment. Wagging the finger always and saying you're not doing enough, and you need to, you know, you need to throw away anything in this that you own that is bad for the environment. And we were like, there's got to be a more welcoming environment that you can have that says, hey, little things.
Baby steps.
Yes, exactly. I mean, because environmentalists are actually overwhelmingly very kind people when you actually get in front of them and have a conversation. It's just that this, I think that the act of being in that kind of trying to do this for so long is it's made it tough for them. So we're kind of coming in trying to be a little a fresh face to change the conversation a little bit.
And I feel like people that are, you know, for the environment, they're so attacked.
Yeah.
Like you said, hippie, like, you're a hippie, you're a weirdo, you know, you're a tree hugger. And it's like, no, you don't understand. You know, they might be passionate about it and they might come across as like weird about it, but their heart is good. You're right. It's not an all or nothing. And it's not a they said situation where you've got the radical environmentalist who is, like you said, throw away everything. You're horrible. You hate life. But you're right.
Children, you monster.
Yeah,
exactly. Look what you've done. Exactly. You killed the planet. Me.
Exactly.
And then on the other hand, you have the people that are so stubborn that won't change and are not receptive to it. So that I feel like that's who you want to reach. You want to, let's come together, people. Come on. It's all, we're all on the, literally all on the same planet.
And a lot of the content that's out there, you know, especially the environmental, the stuff that's teaching and educating, a lot of times they're just talking to the circle of people that have already been won over.
It's an echo chamber.
It's an echo chamber. It's just people going, these are the things that we need to do. And the people going to those blogs and those sites every day are going, I know, I'm doing those things. But we knew that there would be a very large portion of people that had their fingers in their ears and going, la, 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 la. You know, I don't want to change a thing about my life. It's too much. I've got my kids. I've got my job. I've got my routine. And we wanted to go, hey, we get that.
We do too.
So what are the things that you could look at and make a little difference? You know, don't get a straw next time you go out. You know, stop buying bottled water if you can. You know, like maybe get a Brita filter or something in your house. You know, these little things.
Shorten your shower by 1 minute.
1 minute.
Just 1 minute.
You know, and these are the things. And we were like, if we could reach those people, the ones that have already walked away from it, then that's our mission. That's our goal.
Yeah. And we found, you know, with the podcast and also with Biofriendly Planet, that the people who come back, they become converts. Converts?
Converts.
Not because they're forced and not even because they realize they wanted to, but just because they start to pick up one thing. And then there's a change of mind. You know, the frame of reference changes a little bit. You think, well, wait a minute, maybe I do want to do something else. And they start to look for more. And then as they look for more, then we provide them more, and you know, and then it starts to snowball, and then they kind of join the cause.
I mean, you'd like to think that people at least have the capacity to understand another concept. I mean, if you watch the news lately, not to get into that, but you would maybe not believe it, but you would like to think that people do have the capacity to at least understand, if not the capacity to change. Like you said, with the additive, the green plus, if you said to somebody, we've created a new biofuel, but you either need to buy a new car or you have to have your engine redone and it's going to cost you thousands of dollars. People are going to say, hell no.
Right.
But if you tell them, hey, it's just a little bottle, pour it in your gas tank, and you reduce, you know, the CO2 emission. It's easy. Yeah. I mean, it should be called Easy Plus. this is a small change that you can do for not a bunch of money, not thousands of dollars. It's a little change you can make to make a big change overall. I did have a question about that. You said, now, was the company founded in Australia or here?
No. It's founded here in the U.S. So my dad and my Uncle Bob, his brother, they moved here in 1976.
Yeah.
So they were influenced by the smog of California. Is that what it was?
100%. That's a 100%. Big part of their experience was the pollution that was so bad back then.
Yeah. So it was a different world in LA compared to, they came from Melbourne, which is, you know, it's a good sized city, but you're nowhere near dealing with what you had in Los Angeles. Yeah. And they came here with an automatic door cover because they were, they were classic nerds. They loved Star Trek. And so when they were younger, they would see that the doors open and close by themselves. And they thought, well, we should do that. So the first company they had was back in the old days, you'd step on a mat and then the door would swing open, right? And then you'd walk in. That was an automatic door. So
they did that.
They did the next step. They invented the infrared sensor that goes on top of the door. And then you walk up to that and then it slides open and you walk in, it slides closed, just like in Star Trek, because they thought we should have Star Trek now. That was the business that they brought to the US.
Wait a minute. We've entered a rabbit hole here. Are you telling me that every time I go to public, that's thanks to your dad that I don't have to open a door?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And my two uncles.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It was actually my uncle Noel who does the same name. My uncle Noel who invented that sensor.
See, you're named after somebody. So why are you fussing that there's not another Noel? All right.
Well, you know, we've been trying in my family. We've done a good job in my family naming Noels. My grandfather is named Noel. My uncle is named Noel. I'm Noel. And my son is named Owen, but actually his first name is also Noel. So it's a family one we keep rocking with.
Wow. He's the fourth.
There's not a lot of us. All the Noels are Carols.
They keep it Nolan.
Well, the first one, you know, keep it Nolan. Well, all you can do with Jacob is Jake the Snake.
Exactly. That's all I ever had as a kid.
Or Jake the Rake.
Jake the Snake. You know, when I got into high school, obviously because of the theater stuff, there's a musical called Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And there's a song where they go, Jacob and Son. So the moment I met a bunch of other theater kids, that's all I ever. Jacob. Yeah, that's all I
do. I love that you guys are like nerds and entertainment.
We are absolutely nerds. And that's a, you know, the podcast really relies upon that as well, is our back and forth as the nerdy guys that we are.
Right. I saw the lady coming. She has the challenge, the $650,000 challenge.
Oh, yeah. The microfiber challenge.
Sure, Barbara Martinez.
Yeah. And then it says something about how curling needs to make a comeback. And I was like, you have my attention, because if you can talk about intelligent stuff, but like related entertainment or sports or, you know, gaming, we're going to pay more attention.
Thank you. Yeah. Today we related the ozone layer to drunks in a bar.
Yeah. That's how we show we recorded today. He had a great analogy about drunks in the bar. And that's been a rule of ours. We used to have a tag at the end of our first year of the show that we said, which was tangential but worth it, because we go on tangents like nobody else's business. And in the description of the show, we always try to throw at least one of those tangents in there. So that people know that, like, yeah, we're going to talk about green environmental stuff, but you're also going to learn something else that you didn't expect.
You didn't know you didn't need and didn't want. Oh, listen, I go on tangents all the time. I spoke to a country music singer the other night, and we probably spent a good 10 minutes talking about The Lord of the Rings and Lost and filming on location.
Hey, love it.
That's what I wanted the show to be. Like, if I'm an actress, do I want to sit and have you guys ask me, how was it working with so-and-so? Right. What was your favorite part about filming? Yeah, okay, I'll answer those questions. But also, you know, ask me, great restaurant, have you eaten at? You know, what was the last movie you saw you want to talk about? What are you watching on Netflix?
Yeah.
Talk to me about my life too, you know, because people are more than just what they do.
Absolutely.
So that's why.
Whenever we have a guest come on the show, it's funny because, you know, especially in environmentalism, and it sounds like you get a lot of different kinds of guests in different arenas. When we have somebody come on our shows, a lot of times these people are used to talking to an audience that is used to just like NPR, here's the science, here's the data, here's the stuff. And from the first few seconds we're talking to them, just like what you're talking about, we're like, we'll get to that. But tell us about you and who you are and what kind of crazy experience.
How many hot dogs did you eat yesterday?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right. Or say, I saw that you tweeted that you went to Coney Island or whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. All right. Or you posted on Facebook, you got pulled over the other day. If they're putting it out there, then I feel like we can talk about it.
I agree.
And speaking of, I don't know if he still does it, but I used to listen to the ID10T podcast with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. And he had Alan Alda on there. Oh, and Alan Alda created a podcast because he wanted to understand science. He understood that he was not an expert on it, but he wanted to talk about it. So he would bring scientists on all different spectrums. It started before that, he had a class of some sort that these smart people are sometimes socially awkward or like a little stage fright. They weren't good at speaking in front of. So he had like a little kind of like an improv class, teach him how to. So that morphed into the podcast because he was like, that was a lot of fun. I want to know more about physics, but I need an expert to come on. And it was just wonderful. So with your podcast and with your easing, you're exactly right. Tie it into something that relates to something that the listener listener or the reader understand. And yeah. then you've got their attention. And then you're like, oh, by the way, here's a little environmentalism for you. They're like, wait a minute, I learned something.
Exactly. Exactly. We're environmental ninjas. We sneak it into the conversation.
That's the goal.
Well, you're succeeding.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're having fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's also a big goal of it too, is if you're not having fun doing what you're doing, then why bother?
Why bother?
Why it? I mean, yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, a lot, it's funny you said people aren't what they do. I mean, a lot of people do what they have to do so they can, like, so they can spend the rest of the time being who they are. This is what's fun about this is we get to do a bit of both. We get to be who we are and then also do what we're doing.
Yeah.
So
you're very lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
to find something that you love to not even to work at, but to do a job that you actually love. What is it? If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life or something like that. Yeah. And it sounds like you got it on lock. So how long have you been doing the podcast?
2 years. Wow. We started March of 2019 was our first episode. And today we just recorded episode 108. So it turned out a good amount in 2 years. And it's been growing and we love doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things. It's funny in the last year with COVID, so much of what we do, particularly now with at least the Green Plus side of the business, is we really focus on developing countries and places where there's a much farther transition to green energy and to green fuels. Just because it makes more sense. If they can't do anything about it right away, then they would need to do something to help now. And so that's kind of where we focus. But that's not here. So and a lot of these, you know, a lot of people who are looking for this and need this right now, they couldn't do anything during COVID. So it was an interesting time because we pretty much had to not pause the Green Plus business, because we obviously kept it going, kept pushing it as we could. But it was one of those things where, you know, you're home and you're trying to keep things going. And the podcast was, you know, the podcast and Biofriendly Planet really got a lot of attention, and they grew a lot in the last year. Because that was something you could do from home and you could do it easily.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to get in the car and drive to the office. And a lot of people I've talked to are saying that one good thing, or, you know, a couple good things that has come from having to stay home for a lot of people, is that their creativity has gone up. Artists are painting more. Seth Rogen is making pottery, for crying out loud. He's not out there making movies. He's making pottery now. Writers are writing more. Musicians are writing more music. They're recording at home. Sending it in via computer. They've seen an uptick in productivity having to stay home. Now, for the normal, for the average person, you know, that got furloughed or has had to stay home and lost their jobs, not so much. Yeah, but for the creatives, it seems to have benefited them a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time when we're all plugged together, Zoom calls, you know, everything is emails and texts and online and virtual. And so it's really about how do you use these platforms to continue on. I mean, that was right. We're doing a Zoom call right now. You're in Florida. We're on the West Coast. We're able to continue the conversation and continue going and moving forward. And that's exactly what we had to do. And it worked. And now I'm just excited that we can. It does feel like the world is slowly reopening a little bit. We're getting it out here for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to take what we've developed over the past year and go even further, start expanding.
Now, is California opened again?
It depends on the county. We've got these little, this tier system, you know, there's like a colored tier system. And depending on your infection rate, how many people have gotten vaccines, things like that, more or less opening is allowed. But LA is kind of, you know, we're going to be the last ones out. And we're already at basic, essentially our indoor dining can now do 50% capacity, which is, I mean, for us, that's like a miracle.
That's a big deal.
The fact that you can eat indoors now is like, people here are going, what?
Yeah, yeah. And bars are open and gyms are open. And that's just like,
that's hello. That's LA. Yeah,
pretty much LA.
So it definitely is better. The mood here has changed, certainly. I mean, I think people are ready to get back to it, and you can feel it, you can see it, that, you know, there's more cars on the road again, there's more people out and about doing things again, there's a different energy than there was even at the beginning of the year.
It was so weird / wonderful last March when everything shut down like a bear trap, closed, done, closed. I still had to leave the house and go to work. I was an essential worker. Uh-huh. And I had a 40-minute commute both ways. And I was like, this, I can deal with this because the traffic was low. Nobody's on the road. Just like those three people that still had to go to work. I'm not complaining. I'm glad that I was able to stay employed when a lot of people lost their jobs. But the lack of traffic was nice. And you saw at the very beginning, you know, that like people were showing pictures, I think even of LA, the skies were a little clearer. Over here, the Indian River, we have a problem with algae bloom, like red algae. And yeah, it started clearing up. But it started going back to the way it was because people don't listen. People don't do what they're supposed to do. And I think Florida's lost its damn mind, honestly, right now. People are out and about.
Yeah, I've seen a couple pictures of spring breakers.
Is it going on in Florida at all? Or is it
Everywhere I go, there's signs that say masks are required 6 feet. But I don't know like what the legal limitations are because I don't the news because it's kind of depressing. Listen, if it doesn't get tweeted about, I don't really know what's going on if it's not related to entertainment or something that concerns me. But my youngest son is obsessed. He's autistic, so he's obsessed with watching the local news channel. So I'll hear from him. You know, he'll say, did you know, like, I didn't know about, this is sad, but I didn't know about the shooting in Colorado.
Oh, no.
Until he came to me and he said, some people died. And I said, what happened? And then I had to look into it. So I probably should watch the news a little more.
But it's funny, the important stuff makes its way, though. It's amazing how that happens. I mean, the stuff that you need to know, someone, you do find out, it gets, if it doesn't get to Twitter, it certainly gets to a friend or your son, you know? I mean, it gets to you somehow.
My little intern, you know, it's fine.
It would be great if there existed more news that was just about giving you the information without, oh, it's got to lean on this side or this side. You know, we're always talking about, I wish that there was a news source that were these, hey, I'm just here to report
factual blurs. Right.
What's happening in the world? Exactly. I'm not get you to come to my team or anything like that.
Don't spin it. I don't need it spun. Tell me that a tree fell. Yeah. That's it. You can tell me where. You can tell me when, maybe if you have thought based probably in fact as to why it fell. Okay. But don't tell me you think it fell because of this person. There's too much. It's so like, I don't even know what channel to watch if I want to know something. So it's, you're right.
It's
don't
difficult.
Lean.
It's difficult. It's difficult even in environmentalism. Like we've had to trim our information trees a little bit just to get just data, just factual data about the environment, about what's going on because every single article is tilted. It's like, but here's the news and here's my opinion of why it sucks. And that's like, okay.
Yeah, we've done episodes where literally the headline that we're referring to about an environmental story, you know, the headline is we're all gonna die. Mm-hmm. We're all gonna die and this is what's happening. And then as you drill into the article, you go, well, that's not what they're saying.
We're not all gonna die.
They had to find ways to get people to click on their article or read it. And you go, I just want one place that just has no sensationalist news here.
Don't catastrophize it. Well, it's like a headline says 4-year-old girl ends up in the back of a cop car. And you're like, oh, what happened? And then it only because she's been asking her parents for the last year that's her birthday. Exactly. It's like, are you effing kidding me? Listen. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. No sensationalism. I can't even say it. I don't like it so much. And don't catastrophize it. Tell people.
Tell me the story.
What is it? If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah. And they're speaking of bleeding, they're losing viewers, you know, like mad right now. Without the last president to talk about, there's not.
It's like, what do we do now? We talk about what's actually news.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with me and like people that make my rules. We live in a little bubble. I have my family. I have my job. This bubble is intense. There's a lot going on. So unless something super big happens, I don't really, people, I got off of Facebook because people like, you want to talk about brother against brother. And I was like, you guys are insane. Why are you viewing such hatred at you? You guys used to run around, get dirty together. I mean, you used to climb trees together and now you're hating each other because you picked this one, you picked that one. Yeah. I said, why don't you focus on your family, focus on your friendship because you can vote and you can make a difference. But at the end of it, when they count the vote, you got to live with what the decision is of the people. And if you don't like it, you got to be like me. You got to go back in your bubble and say, okay, well, my life still goes on. I still have to wake up and feed him breakfast.
Absolutely.
I got to go to work.
I mean, whether you want that to be the case or not, it is the case.
Yeah, right.
Because enough people agree that the elections should be free.
Yeah.
For, you know, in both cases, the one that happened 4 years ago and the one that just happened, right?
Right.
People were not happy with either one, depending on who you talk
to. It's so divisive. And honestly, me getting in an argument on Facebook about it doesn't benefit my life at all.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. There used to be a time that you could be close friends with people for your entire life and have no idea what their thoughts or feelings were in those arenas. It just didn't even come up.
It didn't need to.
I'll see you at the barbecue and I'll have a cold beer waiting for you. And that's all there is to it, you know?
And you used to be able to have a difference of opinion without being at each other's throat.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm naive, but I feel like you're right. I think the leadership marches on and we little people just have to keep marching on in our life. And I'm not going to sit and fight about it on social media where you can't trust anybody anyways because they use filters.
Right? Yeah. What truth are you getting? What semblance of truth? Mm-hmm. Just a little nugget, right? It's like everybody's got their own bubbles. Everybody's got their own stuff that they're dealing with. And usually only the best portions of their life are getting pushed to the surface.
Right.
And so, you know, we all need to cut each other some slack and just be there for each other.
And I feel like we don't, as a species, we don't communicate enough to each other as it is. So why am I going to waste the time that I actually have to speak to someone fighting with them? If I don't agree with you, I'm not going to, well, you're stupid. I hate your guts and I want to sit here and fight about it for 15 minutes. I'm just going to say, okay, well, you know, that's your opinion. I have my own. Agree to disagree.
Yeah. So I'm glad you didn't have us on the show today to fight with us. That's the good thing, right?
Well, I mean, there's some hills I'm willing to die on, but none of them are political or, I will argue Marvel versus DC or, you know.
I love it. Hey, we like that.
So what, Marvel or DC?
Marvel versus DC. Absolutely.
No.
Really? For the movies. Yeah. For the movies.
Overall.
Well,
how can you say Marvel?
I know I'm a Superman. I'm a Superman diehard. So.
Well, Superman is amazing. Yes, absolutely. And Wonder Woman as well.
An incredible character too. Yeah.
I don't like Batman.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Agree to disagree.
I'm going to go to my Facebook and get super mad.
I'm going to tweet this, but
angry.
I just prefer Marvel. I prefer the characters, but I love me some Wonder Woman and not just the cinematic Wonder Woman. I dressed up. Actually, my mom made me a costume. I was maybe like 5 or 6 years old, and there's a picture of me in a little Wonder Woman costume that she made. I do like Wonder Woman. And Supes is all right. I just, for some reason, when it comes to Batman, I've always rooted for the Joker. And my best friend and I argue because he loves Batman. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I said he's an asshole. He's arrogant. I don't like him.
Hey, but the Joker, that's a DC character.
Yeah.
He's a villain, but...
Sorry. Although the way, you know, they treat him almost, it's funny.
He gets a lot of movies.
He gets a lot of attention.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't see the one with Joaquin, but I did the...
good.
Is it? Good,
but it's depressing. I mean, this is not going to go see a superhero movie at all. It is like Taxi Driver.
Yeah, okay.
it is a film of just watching a person fall apart. And so it's really well acted and he absolutely deserved the accolades for his performance because he was excellent in it. But it is not, you know, if I was sitting down with my wife, I wouldn't be like, hey, you want a feel good movie of the year? You know, like Joker is not it.
This is the movie, like I'm already in my feelings. Let me sit down and watch this so I can get even more in my feelings.
Yes.
Joker's
the movie to watch for really appreciating somebody's interpretation of a character in the most realistic way you could possibly. Do it.
Right. And I'm a big Jared. Is it Leto or Leto? I always
say Jared Leto. That's
Leto. Okay. Yeah. I'm a big Jared Leto fan. I love his music, first of all. 30 Seconds to Mars. He was amazing in Dallas Buyers Club. If you've seen that.
Yeah, he was excellent in that. Yeah.
But I loved Suicide Squad. And some people were like, oh, God. And I'm like, why? It was entertaining. I mean, sure, there's a couple of plot holes. the storyline kind of lost itself there. But overall, it was entertaining. And I cannot wait for The Suicide Squad, directed by James Gunn.
I think so. Looks when, fun.
I'm a big fan of that part of DC.
Yeah.
It's not like you're not like you hate DC. You seem to have some passion.
You guys.
Exactly.
It's funny. The spinoffs that DC has, it's funny. These studios, when they make a project they don't care about, that's when it really goes. You know, like one of the best DC things is the animated Teen Titans Go.
Yes, it is. Yes. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is a terrific show.
We all have children, so we've all seen it, I'm sure.
It's a hilarious. And it's fun. It's superheroes. And it's great. It's a great show. You know,
I'd watch it even if I didn't have children. What are you talking about?
You're right. Absolutely.
But I mean, even Marvel wouldn't exist if not for the fact that Jon Favreau and Robert Downey Jr. essentially made a student film with $100 million.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
That's why we have this universe.
Yeah.
Oh, true. And you know what? As much of a MCU lover as I am, for the longest time I had the same feelings about Iron Man as I did about Batman, because I was like, he's an asshole, he's arrogant.
Yeah.
But I grew to love him. I mean, he's no Captain America, obviously, but
obviously who Chris Evans,
oh my god, like
the hero of our hearts.
Listen, if you know him, have him call me, because
okay.
But Downey got me back. He got me back, and I said, oh, all right, fine, I like Iron Man now. Is it the Joker with Joaquin, or is it Joker?
I think it's called Joker. I think it's just called Joker.
That's a movie, definitely. Like, if you're already in your feelings and you're like, I want to sit here and be kind of depressed, or you know, because sometimes you're in a mood and you don't want to watch Letterkenny. You just you kind of want to be what you're being right then. I had a moment. I have to be honest. I've probably seen Endgame 200 times. It's probably my favorite movie after Highlander.
It is excellent.
But I had a couple weeks ago, I was just feeling blue, and I said, you know what I need to do? And I've been an absolute like mess since we lost Chadwick Boseman, because I just, God, it broke my heart. So I said, guess who's going to watch Infinity War right now? Because I need to be in that spot. Go a little halfway through till they get to Wakanda. Watch it from there on. You have yourself a good cry at the end.
Yeah.
And you're purged. You're doing good after that.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. Rest in those feelings and just
exactly.
Let them take
you. Acknowledge
them. They still got the new, which I'm glad to see, the new Black Panther movie is listed as going to be released in 2023, I think. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they must be looking for someone to fill the shoes.
They've been very vocal that they will never, ever replace Chadwick as T'Challa. They will not do it.
Because
he is Black Panther. They've been very vocal about it. And so I think what's taking them a little bit is, one, they probably had to rewrite a script, you know, unfortunately, but now they had to choose what direction they're going to go in. See, this is the tangents that I like to get on. So are they going to have Shuri step up? And is there going to be a female Black Panther, which would be good, because you saw at the end of Endgame where they had, people might hate me for saying this, the girl power moment. In the comics, there's where a lot of the female Marvel characters team up.
Right.
I forget what it's called right now. I want to call it the A-Team, and that's driving me crazy. So they thought, I think they had to choose, are they going to go with Shuri, like T'Challa's best friend in the movies? Is he going to step up? I can't think what his name is. I think they probably had to rewrite a script. They had to decide what direction they were going to go in.
Yeah,
right.
And of course, COVID has shut down so many productions already. Like, I need my Black Widow movie, first of all.
Yeah, it's coming. They just made an announcement, though, right? They just made it coming this summer.
next summer, I think.
I don't know.
I don't like your words. I like Jacob's words.
Just believe me, I could be way wrong, way off on this.
This is the news all over again.
Yeah. Who do I believe? Who do I listen to?
Yeah,
it's good. Because things are starting to get back out here in LA, the productions, and you know, people are working hard to make things happen. So it's good to see.
Yeah, I'm glad to see a movie again in the theater.
Oh, man.
I'm actually personally glad that they held out on Top Gun, and that they're releasing.
Yeah, I know.
I want to see that thing.
Want to see that in a theater? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Childhood wish come true.
Jets, and you need the speakers and the giant screen and the
You need that THX.
There's some movies that are just meant to be watched in that format.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, do you think Val Kilmer got in shape for it? Is he even in it?
Sure. Yeah. I'm surprised that they brought him out, man, because he's pretty sick, from what I understand.
Yeah,
so it's pretty awesome that they even did it.
They rallied and got into the project.
Yeah, I don't know if he played volleyball anytime soon.
Yeah, maybe not. A lot of sitting scene. He's in the plane a lot.
Yeah, they did keep up. They're doing like touch football on the beach in the new one.
So long as there's topless dudes, I guess, right?
Right. And with Tom Cruise, there's got to be, he probably has it in his contract that he needs to be shirtless at least like 30% of the film. So, and he needs to run.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he can run. Yeah. He can run. Yeah, I'm excited about the one. There's a lot of cool movies coming back that I really have to experience in the movie theater. So yeah. I'm ready for movie theaters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, if it's something you've seen already, or for instance, the new shows that are coming out on like Disney Plus, like WandaVision. Oh,
yeah.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. It was amazing. And I just watched the first episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I've yet to see that yet. I can't wait to tune in. It looks great.
It looks fun.
Yeah, looks like a lot of
fun. Looks like a buddy cop movie with superheroes.
I'll let you watch the episode. it's very well done, though. So I'm so thankful that...
The fourth cycle or something.
Yeah.
Phase four.
Phase four, that's what they call it. Yeah.
So it's nice that they've put out these little, like, here's a cookie to tide you over till dinner. Because we're waiting on Doctor Strange. We're waiting on Black Widow. We're waiting on
the new Captain Marvel.
You guys are waiting on Top Gun. So it's nice to see like new shows that are coming that are just kind of tiding us over. And they're delicious cookies, by the way. So
they are delicious cookies. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for something to watch, you can go on Amazon or Tubi and you can watch I Had a Bloody Good Time at House. I forgot it
Harker.
Already.
Harker. Yeah. Wow, that was a great plug. Definitely go do that.
You would enjoy yourself.
It's an 80 minute wild ride. It is fun. It's funny. There's lots of blood. But my mother, who doesn't like bloody scary things at all, she said nothing about this blood ever scared her in any way. She thought it was all very fun.
I love horror movies. I love the splattertastic types. I don't like jump scares. I think they're cheap. I don't like the build the music up and then have someone slam a door jump scare. I'm like, that's lame. I mean, you're just being lazy now. Something like Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, that's a great movie.
And then that's a case of loving the art, not the artist, I guess.
I hear you there.
That was movies like that, Dawn of the Dead, things like that, where there's meat to it.
Yeah. We get compared to Evil Dead 2, Tucker and Dale versus Evil, elements of Shaun of the Dead. Those are kind of the genre that we get thrown into. So if you like those, I think you'll enjoy our flick. Yeah. You get to see these two faces as completely different people in the movie. As brothers.
Brothers even.
Yes, there as you brothers go. In the movie. Yeah.
Well, aren't you kind of brothers anyways?
Yeah, it does
it's
feel
become
like
that way.
It has become that way, for sure.
I mean, because
for better or worse.
Working for the company and doing the podcast and promoting. We really went off topic, but that's okay. That's what the show's about. I got to go back because I want to ask you. You said
for the consumer to have a completely green experience. They know they're not making any impact on the planet at all in the purchase.
Yeah, so, we don't want that box to show up. We shortchange it, right? And that box shows up with that one bottle of green shampoo, and the box is literally the size of half a car. And they open it up and it's filled with giant plastic styrofoam. And they go, wait a second, this isn't eco-friendly. Yeah. We don't want to.
This is worse. This is worse.
This is what logistics involved is probably, still a little bit off. But
that's a vision that we have.
Right. Yeah, you're listening a lot more to Biofriendly Planet. We're bringing in more writers. We've been getting some really great writers over the last little while to come in and join it and to write some guest spots. We'll be getting some new regulars who are pretty great and expanding that thing a lot. There'll be a lot of news about that coming out in the air. Money to promote it and grow it up.
It looks like a nice division between educating and promoting and just 100% good.
Yeah.
100% good changes. I like it.
Thank you for having us on your podcast today. This was a lot of fun.
Oh my God, it's been so much fun. It's been so much fun. And I feel like I learned, although I was going to ask you to explain to me the oil and water separator, but we can talk about that another time.
I did some research there. Huh? Yeah. That's good.
I did. I was like, I understand the concept. Because anybody who's tried to make a vinaigrette understands concept. But I was like, that's the coolest thing. You're saving those little marine animals. I love it.
I'm a fan. It's basically it's a high pressure. You spin it, right? You make it like a centrifuge and then through spinning it with gravity, you're getting the lighter stuff on one side, the heavier stuff on the other side. And that's the oil. And that's that's the water. And so you're getting then the oil on one side, which is then split off and separated out to go, you know, get out and get produced. And then the water goes back where it belongs in the ocean and doesn't hurt anything.
You saw my eyes go, aww. It's amazing what you guys do. And I love talking to you.
Oh,
mostly
thank
Jacob,
you.
Because he's a Marvel fan.
Yeah, sure. So
no, Noel's all right. Noel's all right. I'll go get a cat and name him Noel. You guys have been amazing. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you,
Bob.
We had such a great time, and we look forward to hearing the episode.
All right, you guys have a good afternoon, good night.
Yeah,
thank you too.
You
too.
Take care out there.
Jacob and Noel are two of the coolest dudes I've ever had the privilege of speaking with, and the fact that they are doing so much to bring awareness to the state of our beautiful Mother Earth makes them 1,000 times cooler. I hope you enjoyed listening to this as much as I enjoyed talking about it. Have a beautiful night, and remember, Earth Day is April 22nd. Do your part. Help our mother heal.